Blog Talk Radio.
I got checked, gained a lot of respect. Now everywhere I go, they holler my name. But sometimes wish that I was disguised for peace of mind over fortune and fame. Guess what I'm really saying? The grass is always greener on the other side. Always searching for another height. Ah, the grass is always greener on the other side. Caterpillar to a butterfly. The grass is always greener on the other side. Always searching for another height. Ah, the grass is always greener on the other side. Caterpillar to a butterfly.
Fly away.
Drove it crazy, got sick of it, had to trade. All my fans convinced me to grow my hair back. Grew it back, started missing my face. I got it, tripping, I wasn't underground. Got underground, stop tripping, I need heat. When you down, then people give you the run around. But feels great to know who really gives a shit. You cut the grass and the snakes will show. And know your neighbor's fertilizer is fade.
Don't let it fool you.
We always searching for what we never had. Always ignoring what's in front of our face. We've been conditioned to think. The grass is always greener on the other side. Always searching for another height. Ah. The grass is always greener on the other side. Caterpillar to a butterfly. The
Hold up, Luda. Because you know what, though? Let me tell you something, man. Welcome, everybody, to the Shizout. K100 Radio, I'm your host, Blizzard, man. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the show. I really appreciate it. If you want to hit us up right now, we live. 347-934-0966. That's the number to dial to the show. 347-934-0966. That's the number to dial to the show. And right now, man, I'm really going to go live, and I got a special direct line interview that I got to do right now. Hold on, let me get my background music set up and queued up. Here, hold on, let me get that thing started. Here. Okay, here it is. So I got somebody on the line right now that I really, really, really rock with in the music industry. It's not too many people that I rock with. It's not too many people that came along and been an influence and really helped and really looked out for me over here at K100 Radio. But this particular person, oh, I got a tastemaker. That's what they call us. Us people that's in the industry that's doing some influence, that's doing some damage, that's doing some work. I got a tastemaker on the line with me right now. All right? You ever heard of the ATL Record Pool? First of all, if you're in the music industry, you should have. You know what I'm saying? You should have. If you're a grinder, you're out here really grinding, and you're out here doing your thing, I know you know about the ATL Record Pool. I got the creator of that fabulous networking event, one of the most important, biggest networking events in Atlanta, in the Southeast, on the line with me right now. Miss P. Brown, welcome to the show.
What up? Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you loud and clear. Yep, I hear you. What's going on, P? What's good?
What's going on?
I'm glad to have you on K1's Radio, man. 10-year anniversary of the ATL Record Pool. And I got so many questions I want to ask, but, you know, we're going to get to the specifics and everything. But before we even get to that point, let me just pause real quick. Stop. Let me stop. I want to make sure, because this is being recorded, we're throwing this up on the SoundCloud and all that. Y'all make sure y'all rock with us over there. Make sure y'all rock with the ATL Record Pool. Just in case you guys can't catch this live, we're going to make sure we record it and put it over on our SoundCloud, because I want to get to the meat and potatoes of what's going on in the music industry. And this is one person that actually knows. This is the person that started from the ground up. This is the person that I saw, you know, build a brand. And I saw her build a brand before she knew who I was. Sometimes people are watching you. And this is one of the things that I tell independent artists all the time. You never know who's watching. You never know who you'll end up working with that's watching what you do now. This is somebody that I watched before I even knew who she was, before she knew my face. I saw her, and I used to come to her events all the time, just as an artist, just a person in the crowd, just checking out what she was doing. You know what I'm saying? And eventually, we got to a point where we were mutually, you know, had some things going on that helped, that made sense for us to work together on a professional level. But before that, I saw her go all the way up from a small town. She had a newspaper, like it was a magazine.
Newspaper.
Mm-hmm. And I saw all that stuff, and I saw all of it come and turn into the ATL Record Pool and everything. And I used to just sit back. And I say, whatever, you know, comes to this person, whatever comes to P, you deserved it. No one gave it to you. You actually got it out the mud. And I want to make sure everybody understands that, because sometimes I talk to people and they're in the industry and I don't really necessarily know the history. I mean, I know everything about you, but I can be a witness and say, listen, this is the person that I saw really, really, really grind, put on event after event after event. So if whatever comes of the ATL record pool or anything that you're doing, whether it be a TV show that we're going to talk about that you got coming up, all that kind of stuff, no one just handed this to her. And I think a lot of time people think that, you know, just because you come with tits and ass, it was handed to you. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It wasn't.
That's funny. I think it's harder, to be honest with you.
Know that, but people think that. But people think that, you know what I'm saying, you know, that's the one question I'm going to ask you. But people really think that sometimes just because you're a female, it's easier. And I'm like, no, it's not. And that's one question I'm going to talk to you, because I want you to be inspiration for the next generation of young women that's coming up in the music industry. And I know you've got some stories to tell. But let me get my music going back in the background. I just wanted to make sure I said that, make that perfectly clear. No one gave this woman anything. She really got it out the mud. So, P, 10th year anniversary of the ATL record pool. This journey that you've been on, did you ever think it was going to come to this when you first started the ATL record pool?
Honestly, I didn't know what it was going to be. I started the networking event. You know, it was actually called Street Talk Networking Event 101 or something to that wild craziness. The Street Talk Networking 101 Music Conference or something like that when I very first started, because I was doing the Street Talk newspaper.
Right.
So it started out as an event for the newspaper. And then I really, really quickly realized that it needed to be more about the DJs and more about the actual music, because that's what really churned everything. So so it started to I would book like maybe 4 or 5 or 6 DJs, and then other DJs would ask me, you know, how do I get on the event? And I was like, well, I have enough spinning DJs, but if you want to come and, you know, maybe, you know, critique the music or listen to the music. And then it kind of snowballed from there. You know, we started out with 4 DJs, and the 4 DJs was actually Holiday, DJ Holiday, DJ Scream, DJ Goldfinger, and DJ Aries. That was the very first Street Talk Networking, or now Record Pool event. It was those 4 DJs. And then from there, it just started building.
Right. So there's a couple of things I want to ask you right now about the, first of all, just I want to start lightly. Can you just off the top of your head, because it's been, first of all, this event has been going on 10 years, and you do it twice a year, so that's really like double that. It's like 20 of these things.
Yeah, I do it twice a year.
Right. She do it twice a year. This is, everybody think, oh, she's done 10 of these. No, she's done 20 of these at this particular point, because she does it twice a year.
Well, actually, I used to do it quarterly. For the first 4 years, I did it quarterly. We did it. It was the first quarter record pool, second quarter record pool. And then as it got bigger, I did it 3 times a year. I did the first of the year, I did the summer, and then the end of the year. And then it got bigger, and so we had to go down to 2. So I used to actually, for the first 4 years, we did it every quarter. And then for about 2 or 3 years, we were doing it 3 times a year, and then I changed it to 2 times a year.
So basically, she's done it a shitload of times. There we go. That's
so,
let me ask you this. Out of all of the years you've been doing this, give me the one thing, the one positive thing that you've ever seen that you really just didn't expect. Like maybe somebody came through and showed love you didn't expect, whatever. Out of all these years, give me that one moment that you was like, wow, this shit is big. You know what I'm saying to yourself?
It definitely cannot be one moment. It's every event, to be honest with you. Every event, every time I open the doors and the event gets packed, I'm wild, because I'm actually nervous all the way up until I shoot, probably after the doors open. So I'm wild. Every record pool, I'm wild. I am wild. I can't believe. No, I'm not even being funny. I can't even believe that so many people scheduled, you know, a part of their life to be at my event. It really floors me every time I have a record pool. So it just wows me.
I think that's one thing people don't understand. Like when you're doing an event as a promoter, or it doesn't even matter if you're a promoter, if you're an artist, or if you're a producer, or if you're doing anything of anything that you create and that you start yourself, whether it be a business, I think a lot of people sometimes don't stop and take back and say, this person doesn't have to be here. This person doesn't have to listen to this song. This DJ doesn't have to like this record. I think a lot of people, when they're doing events like this and they get big, I think sometimes they will be remiss to not realize that, look, No one has to do this. You know what I'm saying? This is
you have to be grateful. This was a personal choice. So everybody to walk through that door was a personal choice. For every DJ to walk through that door was a personal choice. And I understand that, you know, there's a lot of networking, there's a lot of that you can get out of the event, but still at the end of the day it's still a personal choice for that person to get up in the morning and say, okay, I got to be at the palace at a certain time. You know, it's so to me, when, you know, everybody has a personal choice every day when they wake up of what they're going to do and what their itinerary is going to be. So when I have, when I see 1,000, 1,500 people just walk through a door, it drives me. It, like I said, that's my wild moment every event.
Exactly. So let me ask you this then. Since you, I know you've got plenty of these to tell. But give me the one. Give me a story. Just give me, you don't got to name names, but give me a moment in the ATL that you was like, what the fuck is wrong with this person? You know what I'm saying? That like, give me a moment that behind the scenes, because people may have been there and may have seen something that happened on stage, whatever, but give me that behind the scenes moment that people,
you know, it's so funny that you asked that, because I just had a what the fuck is wrong with this person. I just had and it's a story that is so fresh and so just happened, because a lot of, I'll be honest with you, a lot of the what the fuck is wrong with this person doesn't happen at the event.
Right.
I actually had the open mic last night for a number of the artists that come out every Monday, and we had went through the whole month of qualifying people and getting people to come and this, that, and the other. And the event was so crazy and so up last night that I was supposed to pick two artists, but I decided to pick five. Now, this is five artists that could actually do their single, perform their single, at the ATL Rocket Pool on this Tuesday. I was going to pick two, but it was just so hard, I picked five. And when I told the five, I was like, you're not going to know who was supposed to be the two. You might have made it or you might have not made it. I'm not going to go there and say who was the first, second, or third. Everybody's going to do it. What we're going to do is we're going to cut the performances to 3 minutes each, and we're going to do the open mic medley where I can present the five hottest artists at my open mic. And you all, and in 3 minutes, to be honest with you, 3 minutes is damn near a whole song. If you can't rock a stage in 3 minutes, you can't rock a stage, period.
Right, right, exactly.
I don't care what nobody said. You can't rock a stage in 1 minute. Honestly, you can't rock a stage.
Exactly.
But I said, instead of, you know, doing the whole length songs, I want each person to submit me a 3-minute, you know, show CD. I'm personally going to introduce each one of you up for your 3 minutes, and you can rock and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, I actually had an artist that declined, because I can't say the gender. That person felt that they weren't getting what they were supposed to win.
Wait a minute.
They didn't know. They did not know if they were first or second. They might have not won, period.
Right.
But this particular artist declined like 30 minutes ago and said that they felt like they were not getting what they were supposed to win, so they were respectfully declined to perform at a record pool with 300 artists and 40 plus labels and media and a 10-year event. They declined to perform. Now, what the fuck is wrong with that person?
All right, this is the thing. This, and you know. This is one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you, P, because I think what you do, I think a lot of people have it kind of twisted. And even I can admittedly so, P, I'm going to tell you some shit, because you, as you know, like I told you, you know this, we never dealt from the artist Blizzom P. Brown situation. You know what I'm saying? We've always dealt on a professional level. We've always dealt as Blizzom program director from K100 Radio. But as an artist, I remember coming to your events as an artist. Now, this is the thing, and I got to get a gun and shot again one more time. And this is something that I had to learn. I didn't understand what a lot of people like you go through until I became owner of a platform. You feel what
on
I'm saying?
Side. Uh-huh.
Like, when I jumped to the other side of the fence, that's when I started to really realize some of the shit people like you in your position actually go through with independent artists. Now, I don't know why in holy hell someone would decline a free performance opportunity on that particular stage, because even like you said, if they didn't even know that they were the winner, they don't even know if they were going to get those 3 minutes, let alone however many
exactly.
minutes.
Exactly.
Right, so I don't even understand the logic.
And they, I was floored. I was floored because one thing that I was, I was disappointed because the reason I upped it to five is because obviously I saw something in each one of those artists, you know. And so I was really disappointed because it felt like it was slapped in my face, you know, because I was like, okay, you invested maybe $30, $40 total that was just coming in the door, and you have artists out here who are willing to buy full media packages for $400 and $500. And this person was given a blessing, and I call it a blessing, you know, to get out there and rock. And believe me, my open mic people are very special to me because these are the people that mess with me on a weekly basis.
Right.
So these five people were going to get, or are going to get, really blowed up, you know? And so I was just like, I don't understand. But then again, sometimes you just have to just pull back and just don't understand why some people block their own blessing and just got to keep it moving. And I do understand, because I used to wonder, why wasn't this person, don't understand why this person is still running around the city, but now I understand.
Right. This is the thing about that. This is the thing, and this is a bigger question, and this is something that I'm glad that I can have this interview with you and have this platform, because I got to get into this with you, P. Here is the thing. There is a undercurrent of, like, dismay and, you know, with the open mic showcase atmosphere in Atlanta, Georgia. A lot of people in Atlanta, and a lot of artists especially, but a lot of people, they don't even really know the inner workings of what it takes to even put on an event. They don't get it. They have it's kind of like turned into a fuck open mic attitude. You feel me? And it's because a lot of people feel like a lot of artists have this, I should be getting paid to perform, not pay to perform mentality. And this is the thing. I want you to just break down one thing for me. You know what I'm saying? How much does it cost just to put on the ATL Record Pool? And I know without getting into the nuances, just how much money do you, as a promoter, because you have to incur the cost of actually putting on this event, just give me a ballpark figure of how much it costs to even put on the ATL Record Pool. And then we're going to talk about why people feel like if someone invests that kind of money into a situation, into building a platform, into getting all of these people like me, myself, all the DJs and all the other people that may come out to just be in one spot, to even network, and most artists that come don't even do that. They just want to be superstars that they're not and sit and look cool. But we'll talk about that too. But how much money does it take to even put on an event like ATL Record Pool? Because I'm going to break it all the way down, because people sit back and they look at, even if it's just weekly open mic or whatever, there's cost incurred. But let's talk about the ATL Record Pool. This is what we're talking about.
Let me just touch on open mic, though. Open mic is crazy. It's crazy because people don't understand, you know, they pay $10 to get in, $10 to perform. We do free open mic. We don't even make them pay to perform. Right. But they have to understand, it's still $100 to $150 for the DJ. It's still, you know, $80 to something for the door girl. You're still paying for drinks for special guests that you have come out. You're still paying, you know, for security. So you're still, when the promoter walks even into an open mic, the promoter could be anywhere between $500 to $800 in the hole. Just that quick, just by opening the door. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. And believe me, open mics don't get you rich. They don't get you rich. Now, as far as the record pool, it's funny, I said this last night, and people were looking at me like I was crazy, you know, but, I mean, just put it like this. The security for the record pool for an event, when you open the doors at 4 o'clock and you go till 3 o'clock in the morning, that's 11 hours at 25 security people, because the event hosts 1,500 people. Yeah. So, and not to mention the parking lot security. The security runs $2,800. That's security, $3,000 for security. That's just security.
Listen, stop. This is what I'm trying to get. Damn, man. Listen, man. Y'all have to understand, because sometimes I didn't get it. I didn't understand, why am I paying this person $500 just to come up there and do a song or do a 15-minute song, or, you know what I'm saying, just come to their event, blah, blah. And I used to I honestly used to kind of be on the other side of the fence when I was an artist, and I used to be like, man, that's a lot of money. I could, you know what I'm saying? Now, for me, a person like me, I used to sit back and say, okay, because I'm a networker, you know what I'm saying? I'm sitting here right now where I'm at right now talking to you because I'm a networker. You know what I'm saying? And I come to events like yours to actually literally network, shake hands, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So I used to look at it and say, okay, I have this amount of a budget, which most independent artists really don't have zero budget. But to me, I looked at it like, I have this amount of money, this budget. I can use it to go on stage and rock, or I can just use it to come in. I can use this kind of money and come in, then I can promo and really maybe
promo and get some numbers and do some follow up. Just, I mean, you know, it's levels to everything.
Right, right. So, but I don't. But you just said we haven't even talked about a DJ. We haven't even talked about touring the venue. We haven't even talked about, you know, a VIP drinks and whatever that you got. We haven't even talked about any of that, and we're already at $3,000.
$3,000.
So this
that's,
is the thing.
That's security. Because a lot of people are like, it don't take that much security. I said, but yes, most clubs open at 11 o'clock at night. Or most clubs open at 10. They open the doors at 10. I open my doors at the record pool at 4. So that's a 7-8 hour difference that I need security at. So that's when they go, oh, okay, now I understand. You know, I mean, it just, you know, you're paying those guys hourly. You know, so, but that's, you know, like I said, that's the budget of having to put on a big event, though. You know,
right.
That's just the budget of having to put on a big event. But a lot of people just don't. They overlook the security. They overlook the valet. They overlook the DJ tab, which runs usually about $800 to $1,000, just the DJ tab. They that's just meaning the food and the drink and stuff for
right.
The DJs that came out there for free. Yes, the DJs came for free, but I spend well over $1,000 making sure that they get their food, they drink, they're happy, you know.
Right.
You know, so that's the DJ panels and the special guest panels and all that good stuff, and it goes on and on and on.
So I want people to understand, because I know a lot of people feel like, oh, and you know, I'm pretty sure every year it goes down, every year it goes off without a hitch, and every year there's a lot of people that come out. So at this particular point, I'm not the person that's going to even sit here and even just think about questioning the validity of the platform, because it doesn't make any sense to do that when I've been there numerous times and I've seen what the turnout ends up being every time. You know, when you got people like Drama coming through like they did last time and all that kind of stuff, 8-Ball, MJG. It was just crazy people that came. Janelle, I think it was Janelle Monae or something. It was somebody that came through.
Yeah, Janelle Monae. Yeah, and this one Tuesday. Oh, my gosh. It's going to be on some other.
So this.
Sometimes I know about the people coming, and a lot of times I don't. Sometimes I don't even know who's in the venue until I watch this tape. I watch the video. I don't even know who's there, but, you know.
So, and by the way, I know. First of all, if you do come, you know, you want to make friends with Pete. Offer her a blue motherfucker. That's her drink of choice.
Not in a record pool though. Come to the open mic.
Oh my God. But well, sometimes. Because I've seen it get crazy. I've seen it, and this is something I want to talk to you about, P. You know what? I'm so glad I got you on the phone line, because I'm literally right now in the middle of writing a blog, and the blog, I haven't named it titled yet, but it has a lot to do with just everything that just happened recently with Pies and everything. And your stage at the ATL Record Pool is about niggas in the stage. Okay, my blog is about niggas in the stage, and niggas always wanting to be on stage. You know what I'm saying? They don't supposed to be on stage. And I see a lot of times at your record pool event, it's all at some point in the night, it's always the stage is going to always turn into.
And I try.
Time.
Please don't think I don't try. I try.
But
I try. It just don't work. It don't work. Somebody's gonna get offended. Somebody's gonna be mad. Somebody needs their brother on the stage with them and their crew, and I try to keep the stage clear, if not just to, you know, respect the sponsors,
right.
You know, the sponsors of the event, and I try, but
it's not just your event. What is it? What do you think it is, Pete? Is everybody want to be a star? Is that what it is? Everybody want to be seen? Everybody want to be a star? Why does the stage always get chaotic?
I mean, but I don't have a problem with that, because at the end of the day, that's what the business is built on, you know. So I don't have a problem with everybody wanting to be a star, and everybody wanting to be a performer, everybody wanting to be a singer or a rapper or actor or whatever. And I think it's only everybody, because this is the business that we're in. So, of course, the business that we're in, and everybody we look at wants to be something in the business. So, in fact, it's so funny. I feel weird around people that don't want to be in the industry.
Are you sure?
When I go places like family reunions or just out with, you know, non-industry type people, I feel weird, because they don't want to get on the mic and they don't want to get on the stage and they can't imagine, you know, traveling around. It's like, why would you do that with your life? And it's so funny, so I'd be like, why wouldn't you? You know, so I don't really have a problem with everybody wanting to shine. I don't know. I just chop it up to the game and just be done with it.
At that point, that's when you start flipping on a little bit of a blue motherfucker around by one.
It depends on how the first part of the night went.
So let me ask you this. This is a serious question right here because, and we touched on it earlier, but I want to make sure we get into it in depth with this interview. Being a female in the music industry, being a power player, you know what I'm saying? Being someone that's highly respected in the game, in the industry, and you being a female. Now, earlier you said you said it's harder because you're a female. Give me some hurdles that you go through. Being a person that has a brand as big as yours, that has this great event that everybody always comes through, but being a female, can you give me some instances where you feel like because you were a female, somebody made it difficult? Like, have you ever had someone try you on some real bullshit and you'd be like, nigga, if I was a dude, you probably wouldn't even try that bullshit?
Not anymore, but of course, coming up, you know, it's just the natural order of things for, you know, because if you're a female, you know, you're going to not be taken as seriously as a lot of your male, you know. That's why I just decided to create my own lane instead of trying to be in the lane with everybody else, you know, all the other promoters or all the other promo people or all the other... You know, I think as a female, the best way you can go about, not even as a female, I'm talking about even as a newcomer to the business, is finding a lane that is the most empty lane out there. You might not have to create it, but just finding the most empty lane out there that you can relate to and start working in it. So instead of, you know, becoming just that straight, solid, club promoter or that straight solid where I was competing, you have to create something that's going to be an asset.
Mm-hmm.
So I work with a lot of promoters, and of course when promoters need me, they call me and they say, hey, I'm doing a showcase for this, or I'm doing a showcase for that, or who's the hot artist, blah, 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 blah. So I became an asset instead of the competition.
Right.
So I think when you're trying to get in any business, you got to figure out what's the asset. How can you be an asset to everyone in the business? You know, and when you figure that out, you just figured out what your business is going to be.
Exactly. I can 100% concur on that. I think that seriously. I'm literally sitting here right now, and the professional business, music business relationship that me and you have is really based on that, because, you know, I got to the point where I was just like, you know, everybody's rapping, you know what I'm saying? And then jumped to the internet radio again. Well, fuck, everybody jumped to the fucking internet radio after that. But that's a fucking bad.
I tell a lot of artists, you can go the way of just being an artist. Believe me, I've seen a lot of people just go the way of being an artist and be very successful at it. Or you can be an artist and you can create something else within that industry that opens doors for you way before being an artist would be.
Right.
I mean, exactly. it's either or. You know, I'm not saying go either way. I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes that helps. So you got a lot of artists that produce. You got a lot of artists that host. You got you see what I'm saying? So they become, or you got a lot of them artists that DJ. So it's just like they all lane.
Right, exactly. Let me ask you this. You wear many hats. You're the promoter and, you know, CEO of Street Talk, but you do other things that I think a lot of people may or may not know. I know that for a fact that you've managed artists. How is that going, and how is that different from what you do as a promoter? Which one do you enjoy more?
I think the thrill of managing an artist was more so finding something, and it's the same thing as being a promoter and creating an event. Finding something or idea or something in the rough or that's not being noticed or not being listened to or not being heard, and same thing as a promoter, creating an event that's not being, you know, creating something and then making people aware of it. So I think it's not so much that is my it's not so much being a manager or which one do I like best. If I see a hot artist or if I deal with a hot artist and I think that no one is really paying attention to this artist, but I can turn this diamond, you know, this diamond in the rough into a diamond and make it sparkle. You know, that's the same thing I do when people come to me to hire me for promo, or when people hire me for, you know, that's the same thing I do when I say, ooh, I can have a fashion show. You know, and they're not really doing fashion shows out here. How can I create that fashion show? You know, and then all of a sudden, I'm doing a fashion show. Or with the TV show. The TV show is a big thing. It's exactly like that. It's just me trying to take what I can create to another level, but seeing that there's no one doing it.
Right.
And so I said, you know, but I said, there's a lot of internet TV shows. There's a lot of YouTube TV shows. But I was like, I want to create an actual TV show that's taped in Atlanta, you know, about Atlanta's people,
right,
or Southeast people, and bring it to the forefront, you know. And so I started with the radio show, the P. Brown Live radio show. That was where P. Brown Live was very first created. And then I was blessed to bump into the right people to create the TV show, and I did. So.
Well, that's tell us. So you said that you're starting the film this month, right? For the taping starts this month.
April 21st is the first taping. April 21st is the very first taping, where we're gonna create our very first pilot to deliver to my ATL TV.
Okay, and I really want to tell you congratulations on that, because TV is always. TV always opens up so many doors and so many other opportunities, and it brings so much to the brand. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna,
yeah, I'm
you know,
so excited about it.
Yeah, that's dope. You know what I'm saying? I definitely got to come check it out. Come check out the taping. You know what I'm saying? As someone that dealt in video, you know, earlier on, you know, still deal in video myself. I think that, you know, people just, film is just so much, it's a lot more work, but when you see that finished result, it's just like a double, man, did I make that? You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of people, it's a gratification that you get when you get a really dope visual going on. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's really big, and I think it's really great for you. You know what I'm saying? I think that it's going to shine now. I'm definitely going to have the full weight and support about it. You know, I'm definitely going to tell people about it. So congratulations on that.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the TV show. I'm really excited. We have K-Camp and Mama D. And Carlos Miller from Wildin' Out. That's the first lineup for the first show on April 21st. So I'm really excited about it.
Let me ask you this: out of all people, don't understand there have been so many people that you people see on TV and that you people be turning up to in the club and all kind of shit that came through the doors of the ATL Record Pool or came through the doors of one of your open mics, whether it be at Throwbacks, whatever, it's Palette, whatever. There's so many people that are quote-unquote superstars now that have came through your doors. Give me a couple of people that you feel like you knew they were going to be where they at before it even popped off like that. Just give me one or two people that you like. Before they became a household name, you was like, they got it. And then somebody that became a household name that came through there and you was like, wow, that's the one that blew up? Give me two examples.
You know, it's so many, but one of my biggest ones was 2 Chainz when he was making his second bid, not his first bid. When he was making that second bid and he put out that first CD, and, you know, and so you think it's hard to pop off once. Try to pop off twice.
Right.
And he put out that first CD on the South Side, and I used to ride to it. I rode to it until I had to go find another one and broke the first one and rode to it again. I was like, he's about to be huge. And everybody's like, well, you know, he's already with Titty Boy, and I was like, no, he's about to be huge. And I rolled to it, and I was a big old fan of you know, and then all of a sudden, damn, he was huge. And then it's just so many.
Really?
But I mean, I'm just blessed to you know, to be a part of it. And like I said, that's all of it was my school. It was my schooling, you know. I look at it as it was my college, and then I went, you know, I went to high school. Crumb used to say that. He used to say, oh, we're in elementary school, and then we're in middle school, and then we're in high school, and then we graduated, and now we're in college. And then he used to say, okay, we finished college, now we're going to go back and get a master's degree. And, you know, so that's how I feel. Like, every time, the more I'm out here, I feel like the more education I'm getting about the business. And as long as I don't stop, and continue learning and continue going and continue growing, I just feel like it's one big educational fuel. So when that time comes, I have all the education that I need, you know?
Exactly. And I think people understand this is you broke it down really great, because this is school for us. This, for people who are in the entertainment industry, is more often than not the people who actually go to college for whatever it is. A lot of times they're not the ones that necessarily make it, because it's really the grind. It's the people who come in and put out the footwork in the industry, because this is all about relationships. I don't think people understand how important relationships are, because I see artists burn bridges all the time. Like the complete moron that just burnt. Not, I don't know if he burnt the bridge with you, but just why would you even back out of this whole situation and even come at someone like that that's giving you opportunity? But people don't understand, relationships are so key in the music industry. You know what I'm saying? Now, some of them may be overstated a little bit. But you know what I'm saying? Some people feel like, you know, you got to just be all up in everybody's face and all up in everybody's circle. And the industry is big, but it's small. I tell people the industry is big, but it's small, because you still, at the same time, when the higher up you get, it kind of funnels up, and it's a smaller circle of people who have the juice. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that about the music industry. But I think that what you said is really important. The people have to understand that this is a work, show your grind industry. And it's a relationship industry. I think people have to understand that it's really important to have good relationships with people. You know what I'm saying? Because when you say something about somebody or their event or whatever, a lot of times it gets back, and then you have to turn right back around and see that person in a separate situation, you know, next year. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, everybody try to get along. But before I go, one last thing, P. The music industry right now is changing so much rapidly in Atlanta. Atlanta is still the music mecca. I feel Atlanta still has the juice when it comes to the hip-hop industry, the black music industry. But what do you see right now, the shift going as far as the music industry? Do you see the music industry lasting? Because a lot of people are like, the urban music industry is just like dying, because no one can make money off sales of music anymore, and people had to kind of change their format. Where do you see the position of the music industry right now? Because some people are like, if that's what you're doing with your life, you should probably try to find something else. Someone would say you're going to TV right now because the music industry is falling off. But what do you think is the state of the music industry, especially Atlanta music industry right now?
At the end of the day, baby, anything that's going to change your life or has the potential of changing your life to greatness, anything that has a potential. I mean, at the end of the day, you can say they're not selling records, but they're getting booked for $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a show.
Right.
I think anything is going to evolve. It's going to evolve. And you're going to have the people that say it's evolving in the right direction, it's evolving in the wrong direction. With technology, there could be, I don't think there could be gold records and platinum records from every artist. With technology, it's just damn near impossible.
Right.
It's impossible. So when I hear people say, "Oh, no rapper hasn't sold a platinum out," or "No rapper," at the end of the day, that's them boo-hoo to the record labels. Get your ass and make your hit song and put it on iTunes and get downloaded 10,000 times and make $1 million instead of, you know. And the record, who do you think puts those numbers out, making it feel good? It's the record labels. I'm not mad at being a record label. I love artists that get signed and roll around the world. But at the end of the day, the record labels have to understand that these days they have to share the wealth. That you can get such a large percentage of the wealth that now they're just sad, because if a rap artist can't come up and sell 8 million records, he's not compatible, or he's not. But at the end of the day, it's not that. It's technology. It's saying that this rap artist can go out and make 10,000 copies of his own mixtape and go sell his own mixtape. You know, so I think everything has an evolution to it. Everything has an evolvement to it. Everything evolves. You know, of course you're gonna sell more records, but it's the only avenue people have to get the music. Of course.
Right.
It's
exactly.
The only way I can get the music.
once you walk into the Best Buy and buy the CD, I'm saying the only way. Yeah, it's so funny because my children cannot understand that. It baffles their mind to say, to be able to understand that there at one time, not too long ago, maybe like 10, 15 years, maybe.
Right.
That long, the only way I was going to get any music to play in my tape deck or in my CD player was to walk my little butt into Best Buy and purchase the CD. The only way, besides the radio, the only way. There was no bootleg. There was no iTunes. There was no download this. It was no, oh, get it over here. It's the only way. So, of course, they go platinum. But that's just evolution. That's just
right.
No technology, you know? So I'm always like this. I roll with the flow. You feel me? I roll with the flow. I don't bitch about technology, and I don't bitch about evolution, and I don't bitch about this, that, and the other. I'm like, okay, I am here, and I am now. What is the way that I can make this the best out of this here and now, period.
That's it.
Instead of just bitching about this and bitching about that, and your music ain't this and music ain't that no more. I mean, people never like everybody's music. Music is choice. Music is choice. So at the end of the day, if you don't like Southern rap music or you don't like music coming from Atlanta, then turn the channel. Guess what? There's other music on there. You know, music is always been choice. It's always been choice. I don't like country music, that's fine. Turn the channel. You don't like rap music, that's fine. Turn the channel. Music is choice. So at the end of the day, you have a choice. And choices are huge. So it's like I don't really get into trying to say, you know, this ain't, you know, the artist coming from out of Atlanta is this. I mean, there was always one hit wonders. There used to be a show dedicated to one hit wonders. Remember that show?
Yes.
So why is it? Let me explain this because I don't know exactly who's listening. I hope that there's certain people out there listening. I know there's people listening, but I want certain people to understand this. It pisses me off that people say Atlanta has so many one hit wonders. You know why? When you are putting out the amount of artists that Atlanta is putting out, you're going to have one hit. You're going to have more one-hit wonders.
Right.
If you get three Negroes that come from one, if you get two artists that break from New York a year,
right,
and you get two artists that break from Cali a year, and you get two artists that break from Virginia a year, and you get 30 that break from Atlanta a year.
Right.
Of course, we're going to have more one-hit wonders. Of course.
Right.
So it's like everything has to be put in perspective, you know? Everything has to be put in perspective because, you know, it's like Future is still here. 2 Chainz is still here. T.I. is still here. You know, Jeezy is still here. There's a lot of people from Atlanta that are still here. Lil is still here. So get OutKast is still here. So get off of it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'm sure this year we'll produce another dude that is here for the next 10 years. You know, but we'll also produce, you know, because we're Atlanta and we churn out these artists because we give artists the opportunity to shine that they get nowhere else.
Exactly.
There's
I think that
an artist can go and perform every night, a regular artist, no budget, work 9 to 5, go pay my little $10 and jump on the stage every single night.
Right. I would tell you something, P. I'm glad you said that. I got to say this. I really think a lot of these artists don't understand it because I'm from a small town. I had to move to Atlanta because there were no opportunities where I'm from. You feel what I'm saying? I had to literally say, if I want to do the music industry, if I want to get into the music industry, I have to literally uproot my life and leave my family and friends and move to another place where it's popping. And I think a lot of artists who are here, Because I noticed that a lot of artists that are from other places, when they come here, they like shit. They only they appreciate them where they get it, because where they came from was like, nigga, ain't it not an open mic every night, nigga. It's like an open mic every 2 months around that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So I think that a lot of some artists come here, and I think they kind of get spoiled by it to the point. And I think that's what a lot of the rumblings about this open mic or this showcase or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I think all that comes from just being spoiled. I think a lot of them don't understand, homie. You bitching about what open mic charge, try going somewhere like fucking North Dakota or Wyoming, or try being somebody that wants to do hip-hop in fucking Idaho or some shit, or even Indiana. You got major cities, places like, you know, Indianapolis, you know what I'm saying? There's a major city who I talk to people all the time. It's like, yo, the opportunity, this is a major city, and the opportunities just aren't there. I think a lot of artists don't understand that you guys have the platforms available. There's certain people who don't have the platforms available on a daily basis that you starting to bitch about the platforms and how they operate, and there are people who don't even have the platforms in the first place. Even if they wanted to pay $10, they can't pay $10 to perform, even if they wanted to, and you are bitching about having to pay $10 to perform. But again, a lot of this mentality, a lot of my mentality on it really did come from when I became a platform. You know what I'm saying? And I understand what it's like dealing with artists now that want to do something for free, or think you're supposed to work for free, or, you know what I'm saying, get everything for the low, you know, for the free. So I understand now. I get it now. But I think a lot of artists just don't understand that, you know, this city is a one-of-a-kind place. You know what I'm saying? You know, even with me traveling and talking to other people now, so many people that I meet from other places with internet radio, talking to all these people, and they're like, man, they come and visit, and they're like, man, it was so much to do, I couldn't even pick. I'm like, imagine being here every day, being a media outlet, having to choose which one you're going to go to. You know what I'm saying? When everybody's inviting you. You know what I'm saying? So I understand, and I totally get it. So before we go, P, I want you to make sure you break down everything, give everybody all the information that they need about the ATL record pool and everything that you got going on, the TV show. Tell them how they can, come out to the taping if that's open. I don't know. And also tell them about the ATL record pool and how they can get in contact with you about anything.
Okay, well, definitely on Instagram. You know, my Instagram is P Brown Live. That's P Brown LIV. And I just really just follow me on P Brown Live. That's gonna, of course, because the record pool is next week. You know, the doors open at 4:00 at the Palace on the South Side. You can get more information from my Instagram. Of course, because it's next week, you can log on my Instagram and you'll see tons of information, flyers, links and all that good stuff. DJ link is also on my Instagram. So just for that one central place to get all of the information about the record pool, and of course, keep up with what we have going on, because we have, not, you know, of course, we have open mics. We have different events coming up. Like I said, I have a fashion show that's going to kick off in May called Tats and Fashion and Tats or something like that. So we're going to be doing that May 26th, you know, just something big and different and a little weird. And so I think that's probably the easiest place. And, of course, that's where you can get my contact number, too. Just follow me on Instagram at P, like paper, Brown, like the color, LIVE. Brown Lives.
You know what? It's funny because the last time I talked to you, P, and this is the shift I'm seeing. But I think IG is taking over Twitter, because you used to be you was killing Twitter. But now it's funny that now the last time we had I had an interview with you, was, it's been a while since we had a chance to really just chop it up on the air. But it's funny how I notice now everybody's like giving out their IG, and no one is like talking about their Twitter anymore. Is IG got the juice now? You think IG got the juice?
Well, I just said evolution. Roll with the flow. Roll with the flow. And, of course, IG does have to juice now. It does have to juice now. I still have my Twitter. I still love my Twitter. But, you know, evolution. I roll with the flow, you know. Those are the type of people that's going to be here for longevity. You just got to learn how to adapt and how to change.
I definitely feel like it's getting the juice, because, like, I don't get me wrong, we still use Twitter, has a lot of things about it that we still use. It's really helpful to K1's radio as far as letting people know what we're playing on our playlists and stuff like that. It's easier to, use with a broadcast. But at the same time, I understand so many people really rock with the, they just like pictures. I don't know, man, why niggas like pictures? They just like pictures and videos. 15 seconds, that's all you need. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, thanks, P. Brown, for coming over here talking to us, K1's Radio Live. The ATL Record Pool, it is next week. If you're a person that's trying to get into the industry, or you are industry and you're in the Atlanta area and you're not there, I don't know what the hell is wrong with you. You're not really networking. We'll be there. We'll be live. We'll be broadcasting live, bringing you guys some exclusive content and interviews. You know what I'm saying? This is the moment that I stopped to talk to P, because she's constantly. I don't try to talk to P that much when it goes on, because it's just heck. It's too heck. I learned my lesson.
We'll be rolling.
I learned my lesson on that. I'm like, I talk to you now, and this is where I get all my questions and stuff out about the whatever. And then when I come there, I talk to everybody else except you. You know what I'm saying? Unless I got to ask you something about something technical about what we're doing. Other than that, I'm like, because I learned. I'm like, you know what? I let P do her. When I come down, I'll be like, what's up, P? How you doing? And I keep it moving. You know what I'm saying? Because it just gets crazy at the breaker pool. But we'll be there. We'll be broadcasting live. Y'all make sure y'all come over there and holler at us. You know what I'm saying? When you see us over there popped up over there at the Palace, make sure you come through. Show some love. Follow her at P Brown Live. Make sure you do that. Check out the taping and check out the TV show when it drops. Am I going to be a guest on the TV show? Can I be a guest or something?
Oh, you got to stand behind like 488 people that have asked me the same question in the last 3 days.
Fuck them, P. I'm give a damn.
Hey, put it like this. It's weekly. It's taping weekly. So believe me, I'm getting it in. I'm getting it. And all my supporters, all the people that have worked with me, I'm definitely going to find a way to get them on that TV show.
All right. That's what's up. Well, I we'll talk about that sidebar. I see you Tuesday. Hold up. Am I on the panel this year? Because I didn't get picked for a panel this last year. Am I on the panel?
But you're also one of our media. You already know that. You're broadcasting live from the Rickable, so of course.
All right. P Brown Live. Make sure you hit her up at P Brown Live. Thanks again, P. Really enjoyed the conversation. This is great. Make sure if you're listening to this, you might not. If you're listening live or the SoundCloud, because this is going to the SoundCloud. Make sure you rock with us over there on the SoundCloud, man. We're building the SoundCloud up crazy. We're also building up our YouTube crazy. Some of the interviews that we catch live at the ATL Record Pool, we're going to be posting them over there on the YouTube. You know what I'm saying? We're going to have some exclusive stuff. A lot of people always come chop it up with us. So we're going to be posting all of those up over on the YouTube page. So make sure you check us out. Follow us on our YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube. And follow us on SoundCloud. And that's where you can catch the replay of this in case you missed it or you're just tuning in now. I see a lot of people tuning in toward the end of this. I said 6 o'clock, Negroes. 6, not 7, not 6:45, not 6:15. I said 6 o'clock, and P was on the line at 6. So if you tune in at 6:30, you missed a whole bunch of good stuff. Go to the SoundCloud. It's over there. All right. P Brown, ATL Record Pool. I really appreciate it, babe. Thanks a lot. All right?
All right, babe. I'll talk to you. You know I'll see you tonight, listen, or tomorrow, sometime, somewhere in the street.
Somewhere. Flicking it up. We're going to be flicking it up, cheesing it up.
Thank
all right,
you.
P. All right. K100 Radio. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, man. That was a really great interview, man. If you missed the first part of it, make sure you go and check it out on our SoundCloud. We're also posting on our website, www.k100radio.com. All right. DJ Chill Wheel is coming up in a minute. Pause. Shout out to the homie, man. Your favorite grinder's favorite grinder. He's coming up. He's going to be on deck at 7 o'clock. Make sure you hang around. Don't go nowhere. It's a lot of new music that just dropped, man. It's crazy. You know, I like the new, have y'all heard that new Juvenile in Future? Y'all heard that joint? I'm going to play that joint for y'all. You know what I'm saying? And I play one more. Let me see. I got the new, I played the damn Kendrick Lamar joints to just ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? I got to give Kendrick a rest. You know what I'm saying? But I love that record. I love what he just said. He doesn't give a shit. You know what I'm saying? What you people think. He's going to tell you what he needs. What you need to hear and what he wants you to hear, and he's winning off that shit. Pause. Also, shout out to Ludacris, who dropped a very dope project. If you haven't heard Ludiversal shit, I played that intro, that grass is always green on the other side, coming into this interview for a reason. It's for a reason that I played that song. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people think it's sweet. A lot of people don't understand what it's like being on the flip side, being the platform, being the media outlet. I played that song leading up to P. Brown's interview because I want people to understand that it's not easy. It's not easy doing this. You feel me? And if you're an artist and you're bitching about the platform, if you're an artist bitching about prices or whatever, yeah, that's cool. Why don't you put your own start your own internet radio station or start your own platform? You know what I'm saying? Do something yourself. And then once you see how much it costs, all the costs that are incurred into doing that, see if you can actually pull the shit off, A. And B, see if you can make any money off of it. You know what I'm saying? And see if you can put up with motherfuckers trying to always get some free shit. Constantly. Do that for me. Trust me. I thought it was I didn't understand it until I got over here on the other side. But I still got love for all my independent artists. Y'all know we breaking y'all all the time. P-Brown has a platform. He's giving you an opportunity to hit the stage every week. You know what I'm saying? So make sure you do that, man. Make sure you tune in to K1's Radio and show some love to independent to the stations that show love to the independent artists. New Juvenile. I like this joint. It's pretty dope. You know what I'm saying? You know, for Juvie, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Juvie's still around. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to play that. And DJ Chillwood is coming up at 7 o'clock. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to K1's Radio. We really appreciate you rocking with us, man, for the P-Brown interview. And that's it. That's all I got. DJ Chillwood coming up next. Later. ATL Record Pool next week, Tuesday. We are, oh, and we're taking over GME Lounge Thursday, right after that, the next Thursday. Me and Tampa Mystic and GME and Cool Running DJs, we're taking shit over. Look at my IG, at K100_radio. Hit us up. We'll be over there. We follow back, by the way. We follow back. K100 Radio.
You are tuned to K100 Radio, hip-hop and R&B.
My nigga, ain't nobody realer than my motherfucking nigga. So fuck all your niggas.
Driving new millennium, driving in the motherfucker, sipping on from nothing. Diamonds in the bottom of my face, yeah, really. Y'all call my daddy in that powder in the bathroom. Barracks with my memory, beady pussy nigga living. Call it my new Bugatti, and I'm making history. Pussy nigga lollygag around, don't show no sympathy. Hit up with that bumbo chopper, but listen to my enemy. Pain in my vocal cord, chronic in my visual. Monster beat, small 56, night with tentacles. Then took a scout out of my flows and my living room. All flows in this bitch, I'm fucking need a centerfold.
My nigga, ain't nobody realer than my motherfucking nigga. So fuck all your niggas. I ride, I die, never mind, fuck me. And we don't really fuck with y'all. I said we don't really fuck with y'all. We don't really fuck with y'all.
One of my niggas in Dallas, he went up there. Was walking, but he came back in the Beamer. That's how you're supposed to do. When he got back to New Orleans, he went and built him a palace. The best that money could offer, cause he was overdue. And then he got him a package and brought it back to the project so he could fake that bitch down and put all his niggas on. Selling cocaine is a challenge that he picked up from his parents. And he was up for the challenge to be a million strong. He told his homies he had it when he came over to grab it. He told him never come back cause it ain't gonna be no more. He knew it all was a camel, that's why I see the realest and why I gave an example to let the people know.
My nigga, ain't nobody realer than my motherfucking nigga. So fuck all your niggas. I ride, I die, my motherfucking nigga. And we don't really fuck with y'all. We don't really fuck with y'all. We don't really fuck with y'all.